This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Peter Harawilla, thank you for talking to Experiment Q and welcome.
Oh, thank you, Hamish.
Can you tell us a bit about your professional background and what your areas of speciality are?
Yeah, so I'm a medical doctor by background, but I did public health in Melbourne from 2016 to 2018. But right now I'm working back in Indonesia as a researcher or slash medical doctor.
So you're from Indonesia originally?
I'm from Indonesia originally.
Which part of Indonesia?
It's a bit difficult to explain because I grew up in Timor and I moved to Jakarta, so I move a lot.
And you started your career as a PTT, which is, forgive my pronunciation here, Pegawai Tidak Tidak Doctor? Is that right?
Yeah, you should learn more on your Indonesian. But yeah, it's about pride. So it's a remote doctor program. So after you finish your medical doctor, you can choose to work at the remote areas in Indonesia as a part of that program. So yeah, it's easier to just say the remote doctor program. Yeah.
Did you choose to do that, or is it something
I choose
you needed to
do that?
Yeah. Why did you choose to go to a remote area?
I think because I grew up always in the city and I want to experience something else. And yeah, it's just it's, you know, like after you graduate, you want to have like as much experience as you can. And for me, a remote doctor program really trained me to become like a good medical doctor for my future career. Yeah.
You also manage some primary health clinics for tuberculosis and sexual transmitted infections in Timika, Papua.
Yes, in Papua, yeah.
Yeah. Did you work with LGBTIQ people in that service at all?
Well, working in a remote area, like you know about Indonesia and how the movement of being in the LGBT community is very difficult there. So to have like a specialized clinic for them to access health service is almost impossible. So what we did was an STI infection clinics for everyone. But when we have the member of our community come in, we specialize practice for them and they can access the health service as everyone else. But inside, it's a special treatment for them because, you know, it's something that is can be specialized for them. Yeah.
Was it advertised as a LGBTIQA+ service or just something that you identified when a person came in?
No, we cannot actually identify those sort of clinics for the LGBT community. So what we did was because in Papua there's a big burden on HIV, so we identify key populations, and one of them is female sex workers and transgenders and male who have sex with male. But yeah, we use the clinics as this is the clinic for female sex workers to come in and check, and that's more acceptable than advertising it as, you know, the other key populations in Indonesia.
So that must make it really difficult to target those populations when you can't openly talk to those populations or advertise to those populations.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even more difficult in remote areas. So this is not in Jakarta, this is in Papua, which is very remote. It's a remote part of Indonesia. It's kind of like a word by like mouth to mouth, like people will hear about our service and they will come. And yeah, I don't think we can reach the whole population because yeah, it's impossible. But at least to have that service that they can trust and they can feel comfortable to come in and check their health, it's it's good.
How do you identify under the LGBTIQA+ umbrella?
I think it's like, you know, I'm Indonesian and it's hard for me to kind of like being out there. But I am comfortable to say like I am gay. So I identify as a gay male. But yeah, it's a privilege for me to be able to say that out loud. And even here in this platform, because it's not the general experience of what LGBT people in Indonesia experience. Like they cannot just be out and loud and proud.
So as a doctor and as a professional, how's that affected you in your career?
I think so far I haven't met any obstacles. Like there's nothing prevent me from doing anything that I like or anything that is my passion. But maybe because that's also the work that I'm doing is also related to the queer community or to the LGBT people. I think the experience is going to be different with other medical doctors that probably will pursue to become like something else, like a specialist in some like internal medicine in some faculty that are still conservative. They cannot be out and proud. So they will just be under the radar and finish their study and practice without even saying that they are out.
Yeah. So it could negatively affect somebody's
career. It could, yeah. Career. Yeah, as the experience of every member of the community in Indonesia, it's not like here. I mean, you also have like the difficulty of people that still live in those pockets of conservative community, but in Indonesia, the whole country is conservative. So it's not the general experience. Like to be here and talking to you, Hamish, this is such a privilege.
So like Australia, Indonesia has universal healthcare.
Yeah.
But it's a relatively new concept in Indonesia, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only been 5 years. So this is our fifth year of implementing the universal healthcare or what you called here Medicare.
And how does it differ to Medicare? Like is it the similar kind of idea or is it something different?
I think it's the whole concept is the same, but in Indonesia we have a single pool fund, so everyone will contribute under the law. They have to contribute into this social insurance agency.
And the area that you're doing research into as part of a team is looking at how those services are delivered across the entire country.
Yes, yeah, it's true. So what we did was we try to evaluate how the system worked for the first 4 years of implementation. So we want to see whether this single pool fund is equitable for everyone. But Indonesia have other issues too, such as the lack of health access. Like the health access for people in the remote area is not the same with people in the big city. So our research was looking into how the fund of this universal healthcare was spent equitable, like in equitable way between people that that lives in the remote area and people that live in the city. And we argue that based on the access to health service.
So how are you measuring the access to service and the services that were provided?
Yeah, so we use a couple of indicators such as the distance to go to the health service and also the type of hospital that are, because we have like a different level type of hospital and that is based on the specialist doctor that work in that hospital or some other health services that are available in that hospital. So those sort of indicators are to measure the way that people can access the health service or not.
So I guess getting reliable data and having some findings from that data is important. What did you find out?
We combined quantitative and qualitative methods for this research. We collect data from the hospitals and the primary health cares, and we did Indonesia have 36 provinces, and we did we collected data from 7 provinces, and also we interview several policy makers and important stakeholders in Indonesia. It's in an early stage of research, but we already get like some early results. Yeah, I think there are many problems. let me just get it out. The information that we have is from this health social assurance agency, and also from the Minister of Health, and also from the data that we collected. We find out that it's not very equitable. So people at the remote area that cannot access the same facilities or the same health services, they pay the same thing into the system, but they don't get the same value. And that's what we find out. And it's not something that is specific or special to Indonesia. I believe every country that developed this universal healthcare system or social welfare system also experienced the same thing. But yeah, what we argue and what we advocate for the government for the best practices is to understand that there are structural inequality between areas in Indonesia that they need to address, such as the health services, before they really implement this universal healthcare system that they promised are equitable for everyone. To implement something that is already in a perfect system, such as here, is just not gonna happen. For example, as I said, this universal healthcare idea was coming from countries that has implemented this for years and years, for 20 years, and the WHO now want all these developing countries and to also implement that. But the thing that we want to argue is we haven't got the system perfect like you guys here, so we gotta start somewhere, right? So I think understanding that some developing countries will not be able to reach their targets easily, and to help them building the basic system that they need to reach those universal healthcare targets is important, instead of just asking them to reach that in whatever ways that they could get.
And have you looked at LGBTIQ people as like a subgroup of this research?
Unfortunately, we haven't. But we didn't go into that space because the funding will prevent us from doing that. But yeah, I think there are a lot of issues or a lot of interesting findings that you will get if you look into more specific groups or like specific subgroups. Yeah.
So as you were saying before, that combination of living remotely and also being LGBTIQA+ means that your access to these services and your ability to go and talk openly there might be affected.
Yes, that's true. That's correct. And added on that is the whole conservative climate and stigma, like people, the LGBT people are being stigmatized in Indonesia in general and also in the remote area.
Peter Harawella, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Hamish.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.